Hello, welcome to another edition of Unscripted Wrestling. And tonight, my co-hosts are Doug and Daniel Homer. How are you guys?
I'm doing pretty well, Eric.
Doing good.
That's good. Tonight we'll be just talking wrestling, doing a little different format. We'll be asking each other just random wrestling questions and giving our opinions. So,
yeah.
Before we get started,
The RVD show will happen next week, or at least that's our plan until until I change it again.
Well, Doug, do you want to give the plug?
Yeah, I'll do them. Just because you've been at a wedding all day, that means I have to do all the work.
No,
wait, Doug's got to get out his butt plugs.
All right.
I'll do the one at the end.
All right. So before we get started, just want to remind everybody to, you know, listen to listen to Anthony and Boxman every Wednesday night on the Dirt Sheet Dudes on Mixer.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. And then every other Saturday, they do a show called The Hollywood Hangout, same Mixler channel, I think. Dirt Sheet Dudes, they usually talk wrestling. Hollywood Hangout, they usually talk movies. Then, of course, you know, you have us every week. Sometimes with Kenny, sometimes not. Obviously, tonight is not. But yeah, am I forgetting anybody? Oh, and also you want to listen to Eric on what day of the week are you on, Eric?
Tuesdays, I think. I'll be back on Tuesdays when I get back.
Oh yeah, when Eric gets back from his 25th vacation this year, he'll be on Tuesdays with whichever co-host he's not pissed off at that week.
Okay. Oh.
What the hell's going on?
Doug is just talking shit.
Okay. Just making sure.
He's just messing around. What was I going to say? How do you want to get this started?
Daniel, I'm sure.
All right. You know, and Eric already kind of said it, with this new format that it's not going to be a regular thing, but we're just doing it for this episode, where we're basically doing like a ask us type thing, except we're going to ask each other random wrestling shit, and we're going to respond and give our opinions, basically all across the board, current stuff, old school, you know, and just having fun time with it. We'll start off with an easy one. With the first question, if you guys had to choose one guy to be the leader, the face of AEW, All Elite Wrestling, besides the big four, the Bucks, Omega, and Cody, if you guys had to choose one guy to lead that company, who would it be?
I'm gonna say MJF.
That's a good pick.
I was gonna say Chris Jericho, but he's old, so.
Right.
I'm assuming you're talking about beyond 5 years. I don't think Jericho's gonna be around five years from now. Maybe that he's still around.
I'm actually gonna say Jon Moxley.
You're going to go with Mox?
Because, yeah, I'm going to go with Mox because he is that big name recognition that, you know, will still be around after a few years.
Right.
You know, Jericho only has a couple more years left in the tank. You know, especially, you know, if he keeps eating donuts. but no, Moxley would definitely be my pick. I mean, MJF, I think, will be the future, you know, top heel of the company. But there's a lot of guys on that roster that are, you know, that are capable, I think, of at some point being the future.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I can definitely agree with that. I go with like a sleeper pick. Like, I think Darby Allin has a huge future. Just watching him. That kid is fucking insane, and I think there's so much that he can do, and he's over. He's really over. So if you look into that character, I could also give Luchasaurus. He's one of the most over guys in the company, you know? Just like, they're mid-carders right now, but I can see them going places.
Absolutely.
Right.
Go ahead, Doug.
Oh, it's my turn to talk?
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you you two guys this. We've heard, a lot of people, we've read on social media everybody's reaction to All Out last night. What do you two guys think of Chris Jericho becoming the first AEW World's Champion? I personally don't have an issue with it.
I don't either. I think it was the right move. An average fan knows Chris Jericho from his WCW days, his early WWE days, and his New Japan, and then the New Japan days. But he's the most recognized guy in the company besides Cody and John Moxley. And maybe the Young Bucks.
He might be even more so recognized. That's what kind of is bothering me about this whole thing, because, yes, Jericho has spent the majority of his career at WWE, and he's made a name for himself. He's going in the Hall of Fame, no doubt about it. Well, they probably hate him now, but he's not just a WWE guy to me. Especially with the network, you see, he started in Smoky Mountain. He had trips to ECW, and, he really started his legend in WWE. The dude's been everywhere. So, to me, more of a journeyman. Yes, he spent the majority of his career in WWE, and I get that, and I get why people would say he's a WWE guy. But to me, that's not his only legacy. So I don't think that they're making a WWE guy. It's not like John Cena's coming in and winning the world title, Chris Jericho's a little different in my book. So I'm cool with it, and it brings name recognition. And then I do think Paige will take the belt off him eventually, if not someone else. And then it's going to mean so much more because he's going to bring recognition to the title for a few months.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it.
No. I'll ask you this. It's a kind of follow-up. How long do you see Jericho holding it? How long should he hold it?
Well, he should hold it. I think he should hold it until November at Full Gear.
Okay. Full Gear. Oh, that's the next pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's the next pay-per-view.
Where is that in? I must have missed that.
Baltimore.
Okay.
But,
Sweet.
I would go at least 5 or 6 months. Make the title mean something first. I don't think you should lose it right away. Because to me, then you're just kind of tossing around. I don't think Jericho is a transitional champion. I think he should hold it for as long as he needs to make it mean something, 5-6 months. And then when he loses it, it's a big deal.
Yeah. I was going to say maybe he loses at the Philly show, but I don't know. It depends on who he faces, I guess.
No, I think he's gonna go over at the Philly show. I think they're gonna put him either against Darby Allin, or they're gonna bring Cena in.
I can see that.
See, they'll bring Darby Allin. They'll have him face Darby Allin for the fact that this is Darby's first shot at a world title, or they can do the match with Cena because they know it's gonna be a good match.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, all of SEMA's AEW appearances have been fantastic matches.
Yes, they have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Daniels and Omega, right? Yeah.
Daniels and Omega, and plus the six man at Double or Nothing.
That's right, yeah.
Technically, the first match, even well besides the pre-show. But yeah, no, I can see that, and I think Jericho will go over. I don't think he shouldn't lose it the first time he defends it. Just because, to me, that wouldn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
but, I mean they might do it to get a big pop. You never know, but I think he needs to make the belt mean something, and if anyone could do that, it's Jericho.
Absolutely, I think. Big babyface needs to chase that title. They need to start a feud.
I agree with that.
And I don't know who. I wonder how they're going to. Did they announce how they're going to determine who faces Jericho yet? No?
I have no idea.
I'm assuming they'll do it based on records or whatever. That's why I could see them giving it to Cody, maybe.
Yeah, I could see Cody. I could see. What do you guys think? Christopher Daniels? No.
I think he's going to stay with SCU and do the tag tournament.
I'm trying to think of another name besides Cody.
Well, it might even be Kenny.
I don't think so yet because they're really building this scenario to where Omega's struggling, you know? So I don't think they'll give him a title shot yet because he's lost his big two matches. You know, he won the match against SEMA, but he lost his big two. So I think they're going to kind of build him going through that and then maybe give him the title at the end of the road.
Now do you think there's an outside chance they put Pac in that match? I mean, he just beat Omega.
Do you really want
a heel versus
heel match?
I mean, I think if any two heels could pull it off, it's those two.
Yeah. I just throwing that out there.
I don't know just yet. You got to eventually put Pac in the title picture. I think that's how they're building him up.
Yeah. But, I can't think of anybody else besides him or Cody.
No. Cody for me makes sense at Full Gear because that's a marquee matchup.
Well, yeah, on television. Like on television, it would have to be somebody, again, it would have to be, you know, Darby Allin or SEMA, I think, would be the logical choice on television.
Yeah, because then it gets one of the lesser guys momentum and put on a good match.
Or even give it to Jimmy Havoc. He won.
Yeah. He's kind of a heel too, though, right? Or is he in the middle?
He's healing. He is a tweener. I mean, he was on the babyface team at Fight for the Fallen.
Yeah. He's, what's up?
I was going to say, is MJF considered a face now or heel?
I think he's going to stay heel. He's way too good at being the heel.
Right.
I think he
did, but I think they did the thing with him with Cody just to get him out there, just to get his face out there, so he had a place, you know.
Right.
I think eventually they're going to do the angle where he turns on Cody.
And if it's Cody versus Jericho at the Philly show, that's where I think MJF turns back. He causes Cody the match.
It's not a bad prediction.
Full Gear.
Right.
But
I actually thought it was going to happen last night.
Yeah, I think everyone did. But, you know, let's take this away from AEW for a second just so we can get everything in. Who in your guys' mind... I'll go to Dougie first. What was your favorite Attitude Era storyline besides Austin and McMahon? Storyline slash rivalry in the Attitude Era that really stood out for you?
Attitude Era?
Ooh.
Attitude Era. 97 to 2001.
I was a huge fan of Ken Shamrock, you know, back then. And
you're getting into a specific storyline.
Yeah, I know, I'm getting there.
All right.
So I was a huge fan of Ken Shamrock back then, and one of the things that always enthralled me, you know, back then was Ken Shamrock's issues with the Nation of Domination. You know, most notably The Rock and the Intercontinental title.
Right.
And, but like they differed away from that, you know, in April of 98 when Owen Hart turned on Ken Shamrock and broke Shamrock's ankle.
Yeah.
So basically, like one of my favorite storylines or feuds or whatever would have to be from the Attitude Era, would have to be Ken Shamrock versus the Nation.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I'm going to say the storyline that who hit Stone Cold at Survivor Series 98? Was it 98 or 99, Doug?
99.
I think that was an interesting story. And it was a surprise that Rikishi obviously did it under the orders of Triple H. And I think that led to one of the biggest feuds in the Attitude Era, Triple H and Stone Cold. And also led to them being an alliance after Stone Cold turned heel.
Yeah. That's an interesting one to go with, too. Because I agree. I thought it was really cool and intriguing. But a lot of people fucking hated that Rikishi reveal.
Well, because really, it didn't make sense.
Who do you think they should have gone with? I mean, Doug.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's a follow-up question.
I mean, obviously, Triple H was the mastermind. Okay.
Yeah, obviously.
Triple H was the mastermind, so they couldn't have gone with him. I mean, personally, I think... And it would have gotten some major heat on him at the time because he was one of the more popular baby faces. Why not go with Jericho?
You think Jericho should have been Triple H's henchman?
Yeah.
Okay.
How about
I can see
Kurt Angle?
Yeah. In a way. I mean, I could definitely see both. They were both kind of getting established on their own. I would say someone like a Billy Gunn, maybe. I don't know if he was hurt at the time. But so someone that wasn't really established that could establish them. Because I think that's what they tried to do with Rikishi. The Rock? No way. He's the top face.
Well, they could have done it with Test.
Yeah, I can see Test.
Yeah. Kane?
I mean, all valid options.
Go ahead. Mankind.
I think he could have made that work because he could have been deranged. And I mean, he was too old at that point, I think. But you know, a crazy heel turn, I think that would have been awesome.
Yeah. And he wanted to speak. Cause I'm talking about not McFoley. I'm talking about the character Mankind, where he didn't really speak. So would it?
Well, he was kind of a lovable baby face in 99, though.
Yeah.
If I'm correct.
Oh, that's right. He was the GM at the time. Or whatever he was. He was commissioner.
Yeah, he was the commissioner. He was the commissioner when they did the reveal.
Yeah, so that wouldn't have worked. I mean, that could have could have worked because nobody would expect the commissioner to do it.
Yeah, because he was the one looking for who did it. That wouldn't be crazy if it was him himself.
And if I remember, didn't some people think it was Mick Foley in the story?
I know Jerry Lawler kept saying it on TV.
Yeah. That was an interesting storyline. Probably some things that could have been done better. But like you said, the payoff, the Austin and Triple H matches were fucking awesome. The Street Three Stages of Hell is still one of my favorite matches.
Oh, yeah. Was that at? Was that Royal Rumble? No.
No, No Way Out 2001.
Thanks, Doug.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, those two, that's one of Triple H's greatest feuds.
Now, let me ask you like this, kind of a segue, but in similar question, but WCW.
Oh, okay. Boy. Go ahead,
okay.
Eric.
I asked a question. Go ahead, Doug.
Eric, we didn't hear you.
Oh, I said similar question, but WCW.
Oh.
Sorry, I tell you guys.
What was the favorite WCW storyline?
Yeah.
Okay.
From like 96 to 2000.
Okay. From 96 to 2000?
Yeah. Because that's when WCW rose, so we'll start with that.
I think a lot of people would pick the NWO, but I'm not going to, you know, I wouldn't. I mean, the NWO storyline was cool, but it went on too long. But I think one of my favorite storylines up to that point was really the whole Bret Hart Sting storyline. It's like Bret Hart saying, "Oh, I respect Sting. Sting's my best friend. He's like a brother to me," you know, all that. And then he turns on Sting, and you know, for like a few weeks until Sting got hurt, Sting was one of the, Sting was starting to show this vicious side, and they would get into fights everywhere. And so that to me was just kind of like, that was kind of cool because I, you know, grew up, you know, idolizing both those guys. And to see them beat the shit out of each other, I thought it was kind of cool.
You know what? I agree with that. I think it's really underrated because everyone tries to act like Bret Hart didn't do a damn thing in WCW, even though he did have some good matches and some good work in there. But everyone acts like his career died once he went there. I thought that feud was good. I liked the one match where they really made it about the Sharpshooter and the Scorpion Deathlock. I forgot which pay-per-view it was at, but when they made
it
about
Havoc, wasn't it?
I think so. When it's like, which submission is more deadly, even though it's the same thing. I did that feud too. Very underrated.
Right.
I'm going to say the Goldberg streak. I know that's kind of, I thought that was pretty cool back in the day. I mean, now I don't know if it would be over, but back then I thought it was pretty cool.
Well, here's the thing, is that like back then, WCW had over 100 guys on their payroll. So
Goldberg, a lot of them jobbers.
Yeah, and a lot of them were jobbers. So those were a lot of guys that, you know, they could keep to feed to Goldberg. All right? Because what the fuck else is you know, Mike Enos and Wayne Bloom going to do?
Who?
Exactly.
Exactly. You know, Mike Enos and Wayne Bloom, you know, they jobbed to Goldberg. You know, Renegade jobbed to Goldberg a few times. And then, you know, when Bischoff got sick of using him,
you know, he fired Renegade, and then of course as soon as Renegade got fired, you know, that's when things got tragic. But like also, you know, guys like Jim Powers and Barry Horowitz and Jerry Flynn, these are all guys that, you know, they fed to Goldberg early on for the streak. But then as soon as Goldberg, you know, ate them up or whatever, they ended up getting released.
Yeah, because there's nothing else for them to do.
I'll be right back, guys.
Okay.
Huh? What?
He said he'll be right back. He said...
Oh.
But if I'm picking my WCW favorite storyline, the payoffs suck, but I'd have to go with Sting against the NWO. Because
right.
You got to admit, the way they built that was so damn cool.
It was cool because... You know, at first you didn't know, is Sting with the NWO? Is he not with the NWO? You know, when he came out, when he was first started, you know, dressed in the black, and he beat up the NWO Sting. But then, you know, he said the only thing to know about Sting, or the only thing for sure about Sting is nothing's for sure. Okay? And then he walked away. And then, you know, he started doing the crow thing. And then every time a WCW wrestler said, "Sting, knock it off, quit being a baby, we need you," he'd knock him from behind.
Right.
He did it to Jarrett. He did it to Rick Steiner. He did it to Jim Duggan. So you didn't know what the fuck he was going to do. But then, you know, when he finally showed his true allegiance and started beating the crap out of guys and started hitting them with the ball bat, I think the turning point really of that storyline where Sting really, really started to get hot was when he started beating the crap out of Bischoff.
Yep.
And by the way, Bischoff, this was before McMahon was taking stunners.
Really?
All right. Bischoff was getting his ass kicked way before McMahon was.
Yeah, and people don't give Bischoff his flowers when it comes to that. Not saying it was a direct ripoff, but the Mr. McMahon character definitely came after the evil Bischoff character.
Right.
You know, he might have did it way better, but still, Bischoff was an arrogant owner heel before anybody.
Right.
Yeah. I'm that guy.
Sweet.
Jeez, we couldn't tell with the fact that you were talking.
Well, wait, the question.
We were finishing your question.
Okay.
And I'm going to go back to mine, because on the other side of the channel, my favorite Attitude Era storyline had to be Undertaker versus Kane. They eventually did it to death, but when they first started doing it, it was so friggin' crazy. And Kane was probably the most believable he's ever been.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that was just a direct, like, people say it's all McMahon and Austin, but when you got that programming with it, you never want to change the channel. People did, but that really keeps you hooked, in my point of view.
Right. Well, and
I agree with that.
Here's where it really started to turn, where that feud really started getting hot, is when Undertaker issued the challenge for WrestleMania 14. Undertaker had been gone several weeks, and Kane was out there doing something, and then all of a sudden they wheeled the casket out there. The lightning bolt hits, the casket explodes, and Undertaker, or I don't even know if it's a casket exploding or whatever, but Undertaker's laying down, lightning bolt hits, he sits up, and he cuts this promo
about how he's going to fight Kane, and he's going to, you know, he had to get his parents' permission to do this. You know, he went to the graveside of his parents, had to get their permission to do this, and it's just like, oh, holy shit. This was probably one of Undertaker's best promos.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
I like that the brother angle. That was very good, one of the best brother angles in the Attitude Era.
Right.
But it was funny because people back then believed they were brothers still.
Yeah.
Right.
I did.
I thought that for a while too.
That made it even.
So I read it in the magazine somewhere that the two of them actually aren't related.
Wow, I didn't. Aren't they like half brothers?
No,
they're not related.
Oh.
They're not related at all. They're just really good friends.
Oh wow! Okay.
But all right. So since it's been about 15, 20 minutes since I've gotten to ask a question.
Well, you've been spending all your time answering them.
Huh?
You've been spending all your time answering them.
Yeah, I know. All right, so let me ask you guys this. Do you think, you know, obviously, you know, Sasha Banks is back in, you know,
thank God.
WWE. You know, do you think that... do you think that, you know, this thing between her and Becky, do you think that it's going to, you know, have a long build and we're going to get a match, you know, at like WrestleMania, or do you think they're going to kill it off right away? And one or two matches and then that's it.
I think it's leading to WrestleMania.
If they're smart, they will do that. Because I've been saying, and I'll continue to say, this has the potential to be another Austin versus Rock type scenario for the females, to where you have the glitzy,
yeah,
glammy spectacle of Sasha Banks, and you have the rugged badass and Becky Lynch. But knowing WWE, I mean, they have Paul Heyman at the helm, so they might get a nice long run out of it. But they also might pull the trigger based on their track record way too early, which I hope doesn't happen.
What I think
it's
might happen.
Gotta have
is,
a long build.
Oh. Sorry, Daniel.
No, go ahead. No, you're good.
What I think might happen is Sasha wins the belt. They have a feud for like 2 months, and then they go back to it around WrestleMania, if that makes sense. So
well,
kind of like what they did with Charlotte and Becky.
Right.
And then they added Ronda to it.
Right. See, here's the thing, though, is that, like, you know, after Sasha and Becky are done, you know, or whatever, or they have a couple of matches and Sasha's carrying the belt, I mean, what are they going to do? Are they going to go back to Sasha and Natalya? Or are they going to, you know, somehow start to build up Naomi?
Right.
Or
Sasha
whatever. There's really not that many other people for, babyface women for Sasha to really work with. All right.
I mean, they could go back to the well with Bayley.
Good. You know, Bayley's on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Unless they unify the titles.
I mean, they need to stop this wild card shit. All right.
Yeah,
the brand split is there for a reason. I know that, you know, I know why they did the wild card rule. It's because USA had a fucking fit when Roman Reigns got moved to SmackDown, because that means Roman Reigns was going to move to Fox and he wasn't going to be on USA anymore. All right. USA is the one that pushed for the fucking wild card rule.
Yep.
Because they were afraid of, you know, losing Roman to Fox or whatever, even though the draft happened back in fucking April. All right. And you still have, you still had fucking 6 months of Roman on your network. All right, but yet you threw a fucking fit right away. So they came up with this stupid ass rule that is fucking, that's fucking dumb.
I agree.
But
oh, I completely agree.
The thing about like Sasha is that like, and here's another question about it. Do you think that do you think that she's been booked right since coming back? The whole you know, she's back to being that evil, you know, heel boss character.
Oh, 100%.
I love Sasha Banks more than I ever did.
She's doing it perfectly. She's really playing a good bitch.
because that's what she's better at. She's not, and I'm this isn't a knock on her, but she's not a good, you know, like feel good baby face type thing. I mean, yeah, they were feel good moments when she won the title, and I know she idolized Eddie Guerrero, which there's nothing wrong with that. All right, a lot of people idolized Eddie Guerrero. We just did a show on him last week.
Right. Which go back in the archives and check that out.
Yeah. All right, Conrad. It's just like she needs to be the heel character. See, here's a golden rule of wrestling. There's a lot of guys that actually like being heel characters better because that's more of their personality.
Right.
Okay. It'd be like, you know, Daniel, you're a natural heel.
Fuck you.
All right. Well, what I mean by that is that like it's your personality, like, you know, you can play like the cocky heel. And
I get it. You're calling me a shitty person. I'm following.
Not necessarily a shitty person. Like, you know, I'm good at being a dick. So I'd be a pretty good heel.
Right. No, I get it.
Right.
Like MGF would be hard to see.
All right, and I'm good at taking cheap shots. You know, I'm good at taking cheap shots, so I'd be a good heel. I mean, Eric, we wouldn't be. I mean, you'd be a heel just because, you know, in real life, you take more vacation time than you actually do work. So,
but
we need work out of this.
I'm following. Well, you're going off the rails a little bit, but I'm following your initial point. Now, what my counter to that would be that Sasha Banks, you can't take it away from her. She's over. And she was over as a babyface. I think the boss stuff sold a lot of merch. You know, you always saw little girls with them stupid glasses. And people actually did cheer for her and love her. This is just like how they popped when she initially came back. I do think she's better at playing a heel. But you can't take it away from her that she's not over as a babyface. Like, because you can
I mean,
Miz,
I'm not saying she's a bad
over.
I'm not saying she's a bad person. I'm just saying is that, like, you know, as a babyface, and, you know, again, knowing how good you are as a babyface would basically be, like, how you are with the public. Like, if you're going to go to, like, a Make-A-Wish thing or go to an autograph signing and sit there and be all grumpy and be like, I don't want to fucking be here.
Yeah.
Or, like, if you're going to go to work and be like, I don't want to fucking be here, fuck these people, or, like, you know, just do something like, like I do sometimes when I go to work, and I don't want to fucking be here, here's your pizza, get the fuck out, and shit like that. And Eric, you know, when you show up to work,
I'm 9 out of 10 times I'm on your good side.
Yeah.
But the
point of that is that, like, see, Sasha didn't mind doing all that stuff. Sasha liked, you know, spending time with the kids. You know, AJ Styles, you know, he liked spending time with the kids.
No,
John
Cena
loves spending time with the kids. But you have people like, you know, even Goldberg. Goldberg loved being a superhero for the little kids.
Yeah.
But, you know, one guy
Brock Lesnar didn't.
And another guy that didn't, another guy that hated, you know, like, and he was supposed to be a role model for the kids, but he hated being around them, or at least that's what people say, is the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
Huh, I didn't know that. Wow.
But the Ultimate Warrior was not a heel gimmick.
Well, the Ultimate Warrior, yeah, he's known as a cock. But to close out the Sasha point, really, if you want to make this mean something with her and Becky, leave Charlotte Flair the fuck out of it. She doesn't need to be a part of it. They don't need to do a four horsewoman thing. Have this be about Becky and Sasha, and that's it. Charlotte does not need to be involved in every storyline.
Well, yeah, and that's why Sasha, you know, leave Charlotte over on SmackDown to deal with Bayley.
Yeah, I could just see them involving her, though. I can totally see them doing that.
Well, unless Rhonda comes back.
Well, that's kind of what I'm referring to. Rhonda and Becky should have been Rhonda and Becky. You know, Charlotte doesn't need to be. She's awesome. She's a great in-ring talent. She's a great heel. But when you have chemistry like that, like how Becky and Sasha have right now, let it be a feud between them. Don't just put in Charlotte so she's there. That's my
point. Well, here's the thing. The reason why Charlotte got put in there is because, one, she's Ric Flair's daughter, and that's recognition. I mean, to be honest with you, as old and as senile as Vince is, Vince actually probably thought he was putting Ric in the main event. He probably thought Ric had a sex change just so he could main event WrestleMania against Becky and Ronda.
Good Lord.
Vince McMahon is that fucking senile.
Well, I mean, if you talk about recognition, no offense to Charlotte, I think she's awesome, and I do think she's over as a heel, but I think she was the least over in that match. I think Ronda was really known for coming from the MMA background and UFC, and I think Becky was the top anything in the company. So she wasn't needed. She wasn't needed. The only thing I would actually give her was she was the best in-ring talent in that match. She brought a technical skill to it.
And I think that's another reason. That's another reason why she was in there.
Right? Not just because
she's Ric Flair's daughter, but because I think they thought it would be a better wrestling match if she was there.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're right, Doug. I mean, not unfortunately, but unfortunately.
Fuck you.
I do agree with that, but I think some matches don't need to be technical masterpieces. I think we just needed to see Ronda and Becky beat the shit out of each other.
I mean, I agree with that, though. Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much all on that. I think we all can agree that we hope this goes a good route, and we're all going to watch it and be excited for it.
Exactly.
I got another question for you guys, because this is another thing I kind of wanted to touch on. Do you guys think Matt Riddle is a moron?
No. And I think Matt Riddle is a genius.
What I mean by that, well, I like Matt Riddle too, but like the thing is that like he's calling out a lot of these, you know, a lot of these legends or whatever. You know, especially from, like, the WCW era. And I get why he's doing it. He's trying to make a name for himself.
Yeah.
You know, he calling out guys like, you know, Goldberg and Jericho and Booker.
He called out Jericho?
And yeah, he called out Booker. He called out Jericho. He called out Lance Storm.
He's talking about everybody.
Yeah. So, you know,
it is the grand glitch.
Huh?
He's going to call it Stone Cold next?
Well, no, probably not, because I don't think so, because he's calling out a lot of the guys from WCW. Because a lot of these guys have said, like, because when he called out Goldberg, all those other guys kind of weighed in, so then Riddle took his shot at them.
Yeah.
He's trying to stir up the pot.
Let me touch on this from both sides of the coin. On one side, Matt Riddle's he gives me an RVD vibe, right? And he's this young, ripped, very athletic dude who's trying to make a name for himself. And I can see, say, you know, fuck Goldberg, fuck all these guys, you know, I'm the best, I could kick their ass. And I understand that, and I think as a young upstart, that's cool. And if WWE's condoning it, it's really cool. But on the other hand, for a wrestling kayfabe perspective, dude, Goldberg has always been a machine. If you're trying to stay within wrestling boundaries and not breaking kayfabe like everyone likes to do, Goldberg is a beast who's beat so many people, and we just saw you lose to the Velveteen Dream. So on that side of the coin, it's like you're saying you're not all that great from what we – I mean, Matt Riddle's awesome. But if you're losing to the Velveteen Dream and you're saying I'd fuck Goldberg up in 3 seconds – there's something a little off there.
Yeah. Right. And here's the thing is that, like, let's just be grateful that this guy has not called out Jim Cornette yet, which I will have a question or maybe two about Cornette in just a little bit, because I really want to get your guys' thoughts on that.
I know. I want to hear Daniel.
No, you don't. But, we're going to get canceled.
No, we won't.
But the thing of it, as long as Eric keeps paying the monthly fee, we'll be fine. the whole thing about Riddle, and this, to be honest with you, what he said, what he's been saying about these guys really does not bother me, because
most of it's the truth. It's,
huh?
Most of it's the truth.
You know? Yeah. Exactly. Because it's just like, you know, it's him just trying to, you know, make a name for himself and him just trying to stay relevant. And, you know, and he's talking about guys that, you know, Jericho obviously still relevant. Goldberg, you know, coming back and doing these last couple of runs that he did, still relevant. Booker T. Yeah. You know, Booker T still relevant just because he pops up on the fucking pre-shows every month.
And Busted Open Radio. No, that's
right.
Not him.
And Lance Storm does a podcast with Don Callis. I, of course, so he's relevant there if you're one of the five people that listen to it.
Yeah, I think we may have more viewers than Lance Storm.
Yeah, so it's just basically Riddle kind of, you know, Riddle's doing the right thing by, you know, trying to cause some controversy. Because, you know, you would look at Matt Riddle and he just seems like a laid back guy. You know, hopefully they don't drug test him that much. He's just, again, I mean, I don't know if I would necessarily call him an idiot. I think in a fight, Jericho could actually rough him up pretty good, and I think Goldberg would actually kill him. You know? To me, Riddle, I think, is doing the right thing to create controversy.
Yeah. Absolutely, and he's doing it on a, I guess, smaller platform because NXT. So, and it gets NXT recognition too.
Right.
I do think he can fuck up his career though, because Vince doesn't like to ruffle feathers too much.
Right.
I'm glad he hasn't called out. Go ahead, Doug. So, sorry.
No, go ahead, Eric. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm surprised he didn't call out somebody somebody from AEW besides Chris Jericho. Anybody else from WCW?
Well,
I mean, I'm sure.
He could call out Diamond Dallas Page if he wanted to.
Yeah. I forgot that. I'm surprised he hasn't.
Give it time.
Yeah,
the only thing is that, like Daniel just said, he's just like, you don't want to ruffle any feathers. You don't want to cornet yourself.
Right.
All right. And now, I don't think Riddle's really doing that because he's not, you know, going on these tirades telling people to go slit their wrists and all that.
Yeah, he's not cornet just yet.
Right. So he's not there yet. And plus, I don't think you could ever compare Matt Riddle to Jim Cornette because Jim Cornette pops a blood vessel, you know, fucking saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, and I don't think Matt Riddle's a no-good piece of shit.
Right.
No, I don't think he is. I think he's actually probably a nice guy.
So,
I'll present a question now. That's cool. So, who is one wrestler of this kind of new generation, or even the last generation, that didn't work out, you know, that might have stopped wrestling? Like, I would say Ted DiBiase Jr., who had all the potential in the world, who you guys think that could have been a superstar, but for every reason, it just didn't work out.
I'll take this one. I would have said Cody if it wasn't for AEW.
Right.
But since he's in AEW and he owns it, blah, blah, blah. I'm gonna say, yeah, Ted DiBiase was a good one. Ooh. I have to think more. Go ahead, Doug.
I'm actually going to say Wade Barrett.
I can see that. Yes.
Okay. And I'm going to say him because this guy, you know, he had a hell of a push going on. You know, he had the Nexus. It was a great storyline. Cena didn't want to lose to him at SummerSlam, which I actually get, to be honest with you, because Cena was probably thinking, well, I don't know if he was thinking like that or not, but to me, it's just like, okay, you have these heels that are coming and terrorizing the company. The babyface needs to come out on top.
That's still one of the notoriously bad decisions, though.
Right, but I get why the decision was made. All right? The babyface should come out on top, but I don't really think they should have.
Not many.
But it's just like the thing with Barrett, though, is that, you know, even when Barrett got the win against Cena and Cena had to join the Nexus, it was more like, I really think it was too little too late. And,
yeah,
you know, they did a lot of stopping and starting with this guy because he kept getting hurt. I don't think he ever worked a full 6 months.
No. But the thing about Wade is, he kept getting over in a way. Bad News Barrett was one of the most over things of that year. And then you have him win a King of the Ring and he's King Barrett and you kind of fuck that up. Just leave him with the Bad News gimmick because people loved it. It was over.
Yeah.
He didn't need to be King Barrett. He was Bad News Barrett. And like you said, it was a lot of stop start. And eventually, from what I've heard, he just got sick of it. You know? But a great talent. Always had the look, always had the ability, and he could go in the ring for his size.
You know, here's the thing, is that, like, with him too, really with him too, was, like, the Wasteland, like, that move they used, that Wasteland move where he just picked him up and then just kind of threw you on the ground was kind of stupid. But I really loved it when he used the bull hammer.
Yeah, the bull hammer was dope.
Because I've never seen an elbow hurt somebody so much.
Yeah, that was badass.
Yes, it was.
Because he was a bare knuckle brawler, right, back in the day? Unless that was just something they said. Yeah.
I think he was.
So it made it gave a real vibe to it.
Right.
I totally agree with that thing.
I actually have two names.
Okay.
One actually is from Nexus in Ryback. I thought his feed me more gimmick was getting over, and I think they ruined that gimmick. I mean, they ruined him by, I don't know how they ruined him, but somehow they did. And I thought
his booking was stupid.
Yeah. I thought he had potential to be a world champion. He was getting over, just like he was getting over, just like Braun Strowman was getting over a year ago, or whatever, a year and a half ago.
All right, so here's the issue with the Ryback thing. He was getting over, he was beating guys, he was beating guys even two at a time, and he had people hooked with that feed me more stuff.
Yep, he had me hooked.
I mean, he had me hooked. I was a fan. But the problem is that John Cena was supposed to face CM Punk at that Hell in a Cell pay-per-view back in 2012.
Right,
and they already had it set in stone. That's what they wanted to do. Well, Cena went and hurt his elbow. Or I don't even know if he actually hurt his elbow, but I think what actually happened was he went in, or his elbow was hurting or something, so he decided to get surgery on it. Didn't wait till Hell in a Cell for them to write him off. He just said, all right, yeah, I'm going to go get the surgery done. Don't worry, I'll be healed in 5 weeks. I'm Super Cena. Well, this time, no, you won't. Yeah, dumbass.
Leave it to Cena to ruin it.
People that were born on April 23rd are fucking morons.
I totally agree. Complete fuckheads.
Yeah. By the way,
Cena was born on April 23rd.
Yeah. John Cena and I share the same birthday.
That's awesome.
Yeah, besides the fact that I just called us both fucking morons.
I didn't,
but,
you did. I think
you're
right.
So
So now, like, Cena gets, Cena can't do the match, and they're trying to think, all right, so what the fuck do we do? Well, guess what? This guy Ryback, he's over. Let's put him in the match. Now, he can't beat Punk because he's not ready.
No.
So let's do this screw job finish. So they did. And then they had the thing at Survivor Series where it was a triple threat with Ryback, Cena, and Punk, which was actually just supposed to be Team Punk versus Team Foley in a traditional Survivor Series elimination match, and which would have worked because Ryback was supposed to be the captain of that team. Or it was supposed to be the captain of Foley's team, it would have worked, but then that's when Vince was just like, okay, no, we're going to do a triple threat match for the WWE title. So that took away from the Survivor Series elimination match, but because they had to do that triple threat match so they could have, something for, they had a reason to debut the Shield.
Yeah.
So I think Ryback's push basically got fucked up because, one, they put him in a spot that he was not ready for, and two, they needed somebody to get fucked over by the Shield.
And
I forgot about that. Wow.
And here's the thing. I agree with both of those points, and I also agree with Eric putting him on this list because whether he was ready or not, the dude was fucking over. Crowds loved him.
Yep.
I mean, initially, the Goldberg chants were going hard, but then those started to die out, and Feed Me More chants were roaring through the buildings. So whether you're ready or not, a lot of people aren't ready but are still over. Goldberg's another classic case. So the dude was mad over, and there's just classic booking blunders that really messed him up. He could have been not ready, you know, and still had a couple-month title reign. He should have never lost to Mark Henry at WrestleMania. Stupid decision. There's no reason for that. Even if you face him, squash his ass, you know, they have no problem making Mark Henry look like a dick. They do it for the Big Show. But you can't let Ryback squash him? So that should have never happened. They should have never put him with Curtis Axel, which, I mean, it was kind of cool, but Ryback's like, come on, he deserved more. And then what was left of his career got fucked up because your beloved CM Punk had to be a complete douchebag and go on the Colt Cabana's podcast and say, hey, this guy sucks. He injures everybody. I never wanted to work with him because he fucking blows. And that, to me, that totally ruined him at that point because it deemed him as unsafe. And I really think it made WWE kind of not want to push him further.
Yeah.
Just my point of view.
Right.
Okay. I have another name I just thought of. How about MVP?
Yeah. I definitely could see more from him in like 2008, 2009. I could have saw a small run with the title.
Right. Yeah. And well, especially like when he had that, you know, that extravagant entrance and, you know, he had the, the money and all that.
Yeah. He was Matt Hardy really was the best thing on SmackDown.
Right.
And he was good in the mic.
He was.
Right. Exactly.
He was kind of the male counterpart to what Sasha Banks is now, if you really think about it, with the glitz and the glamour. And
right.
I think at that time, he would have been a perfect opponent for John Cena.
Did they ever have a one-on-one match?
I think they might have done a one-off, but never a pay-per-view thing, I don't think. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure not, though. They might have went on it when... They might have went at it at maybe Raw one time.
I'm trying to think of a name. There was somebody that teamed up with Miz back in the day. I forgot his name.
Are you trying to say John Morrison?
John Morrison. There you go.
Well,
thank
I would
you.
Totally agree with that.
I mean, he is making a name for himself. He has made a name for himself in other places.
He was going to be a world champion, but that's another case of a legend fucking somebody over because Trish Stratus didn't like him.
Wow.
Well, the story of that is basically you remember Eric? Do you remember WrestleMania 27 when they did the thing with Snooki from the Jersey Shore?
I briefly remember it. It went through my head and out the other side.
All right.
Does that make sense?
Don't leave me that opening. all right. So basically, it was Michelle McCool, Layla, and Dolph Ziggler versus John Morrison, Trish Stratus, and Snooki at WrestleMania. Well, they brought in Trish Stratus to do this. Well, here was the thing. It was actually, originally, it was going to be Kelly, Trish Stratus, and John Morrison. I don't know how the hell Snooki came about.
I think it was popular then. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, it was huge.
So I think like they got her for something. So they took it. They ended up taking Kelly out of the match because they also needed to promote the fact that Trish Stratus was doing Tough Enough. So
that's right.
So they needed to have her in the match. Well, John Morrison was dating Melina at the time. He wanted to be in the match. He wanted to be in the match with Melina.
He wanted to be in the match with Melina, and he was also kind of taken up for Kelly Kelly because, you know, they were on the roster at the time.
He felt like Trish was taking an opportunity away from younger stars.
Exactly. He didn't like it. So, you know, at WrestleMania, after Snooki got the win in what was like a 2-minute fucking match, Trish Stratus went to hug Morrison, and Morrison just kind of blew her off.
And that pissed her off to holy hell.
Yeah, it pissed her off, so she went and she said something, and they punished him. Now, albeit for like a week or two, because then, you know, he ended up getting put in the title match the next month anyway, because they realized that putting R-Truth in the title match was a huge fucking mistake.
Yeah,
but he never
really got bigger than that.
Right.
And you can tell they were kind of grooming him up until that point. But I think that definitely did a huge blow in the long run.
Oh, yeah, because, again, he wanted to be paired with his girlfriend. But WWE didn't see Melina in that light. They wanted to give the spot. They wanted to give the spot to Trish Stratus. Now they should have given the spot to Kelly Kelly,
because she was over. Melina
exactly.
Wasn't over. Kelly Kelly was huge at the time.
Right.
Yeah, I can agree.
I'll be right back, guys.
All right.
Yeah.
You got another question, Doug?
I kind of, well, we can start this discussion now because this might go on for a little while. I mean, I kind of wanted to get Eric's perspective too, but we got to talk about him because it is, you know, he is been kind of popping up in the news lately, and that's Jim Cornette.
Oh, good fucking Lord. Yeah, let's wait for
right.
Eric.
Well, here.
what's he saying?
All right. So basically, I just need to ask this. Now, do you guys think, and I'll ask this again when Eric gets here, do you guys think that Jim Cornette is another one of those guys that's just a bitter, you know, a bitter, bitter old school person that still wants to live back in the glory days?
Yes and no. I think that Jim Cornette knows what he's doing. I think he is a genius, and I think he's a fucking troll. I think he knows by acting like a complete piece of shit, he's going to get a reaction, and he's going to get articles written about him, and people are going to notice him. But on the other, that doesn't make it right. Threatening to kill people and telling people to kill themselves and calling women ugly pigs and acting like a no good piece of shit should not make you popular. He is old. He is bitter. I think he trolls on purpose.
Right.
I think he does live in the past.
Right. I mean, and I agree with that too, but also, you know, another guy that did that, and, you know, he still, I don't know if he still kind of does it or not, but superstar Billy Graham did the same thing. You know,
yeah, he told Kofi to get on steroids.
Right. Eric, are you back?
No.
Right. I think that answered my
definitely,
question.
Definitely both old and bitter. I think it's two different. First of all, superstar Billy Graham was phenomenal and deserves the Hall of Fame break. Does he really have a right to be talking about current wrestling? I don't think I've ever seen superstar Billy Graham have a 5-star match. But that does not take away his legend status. But he
right.
should also stay in his own fucking lane and stop. Because they're too, like, it's okay to be vocal, but saying just crazy stuff just to say it, and I think that's Cornette's problem. Cornette makes some sense with some of the stuff he says, but he's such a psycho about it, and he acts like such a tough guy. Cornette would piss his pants if half the people he talks shit about came up to his face. He's an old, bitter asshole. You know, he Smoky Mountain Wrestling was not the best wrestling in the universe.
No.
The Midnight Express is one of the best tag teams of all time, and no one can take that away from them. And Jim Cornette's one of the best managers at that time, and no one can take that away from him. He sucked at creative. He sucked as a writer. And he never could relive the glory days like he tried. So
right.
Where his career should be over, now he makes money just talking shit about other people and trying to relive his glory days. He's a no-good, bitter fuck. He needs to stay in his own lane, and he needs to really look in the mirror. But
right.
With that being said, I will listen to his podcast every once in a while because I do get interested in what he has to say about certain topics. So in that point, he's doing his job right.
See, and here's the thing. Now, for anybody that's going to listen to this that has no idea what the hell we're talking about, Jim Cornette has actually been, you know, really in the wrestling news as of late. Oh. You know, he got in. Huh?
Hello?
Oh.
You missed my rant, Eric.
Sorry, I was called. I had to do something.
That's all good.
All right. So basically, Eric, basically the question was, do you think Jim Cornette is just because, you know, there's been a lot of stuff about Jim Cornette in the wrestling news lately, which I'll get into in just a second. But with, like, all his recent Twitter rants, do you think Jim Cornette is just like a lot of these other older guys, and it's just he's nothing but, you know, a bitter asshole that just wants to relive his glory days?
Yes. I think he is a bitter jackass.
Okay. So, but to kind of context this whole thing for anybody that really does not know what we're talking about, why we're talking about him, Jim Cornette has been very active on Twitter lately. You know, one of the things he did, Jordynne Grace, who's a wrestler on Impact Wrestling, and, you know, she's a big girl, but she's a power lifter. And she changed her Twitter name to her real name, which is Trisha Parker. And Lance Storm said something about it, about how, you know, you really shouldn't do that because you're really, you know, killing kayfabe or something like that. And then Cornette went on Twitter, and then she responded to him. But because Lance Storm and Jim Cornette follows Lance Storm on Twitter, he basically came on and just started throwing a bunch of personal attacks at her. You know, calling her a butterface and, you know, all that stuff, just throwing personal attacks at her. Another thing he did was there was a clip of this independent deathmatch wrestler, Mance Warner, the Southern Psychopath, who Cornette called a majority of his matches for Major League Wrestling. Mance Warner, there's this video of him out there getting speared by an invisible man through a table. Well, that's a spot Cornette hates. So Cornette said, I owe everybody an apology. I should have never talked good about Mance Warner on TV. So, and then people started saying, like, you know, he's not doing anything wrong. You know, this is, you know, it's just for entertainment or whatever. And then Cornette was actually telling those people that, you know, maybe they should go kill themselves.
Wow. Nice.
And then
getting out of line right there.
Yeah.
He's an asshole.
And then he got into an argument with Austin Aries on Twitter. Now, Austin Aries, by the way, is no saint.
No, right? He's not.
Here's a guy that probably takes the Ten Commandments as a suggestion and not an order, and not as an order from God. Okay. Ooh. Austin Aries.
Yeah. He's a cock in his own right.
All right. He's a dick in his own right. Now, I like Austin Aries. I'm not saying I don't like him. All right. But Austin Aries and Jim Cornette, they don't have a good history together. As a matter of fact, I think Austin Aries is one of the reasons why Cornette left MLW. Well, that and Tony Schiavone was coming back. But Austin Aries was fired by Jim Cornette in Ring of Honor back in late 2010, early 2011.
Before he went back to TNA, right?
Correct. So he got fired there, and you know Aries is saying, because Cornette had said something about firing Aries, and Aries said, "Look, you didn't fire me. I quit." You did not. And then they were going back and forth. They were trying to out asshole each other. And Cornette basically said, "No, he goes, you know, obviously you didn't get it when I said, if you don't quit being an asshole, we're not going to fucking book you anymore. You wouldn't quit being an asshole, so we fucking booked you. So guess what, dumbass? That means we fired you." Okay. Which, to be honest with you, yeah. When you quit getting booked, that means you're fired. Especially if they're not fucking paying you.
Yeah.
But that's just like a small example of, Cornette's, recent, Twitter rants.
Even going a little while back, the Sonny Kiss situation.
Right. Do you want to enlighten everybody on that?
Well, I forget the exact quote. I listened to the podcast. But Sonny Kiss is a transgender, right, I believe?
Yeah.
And Cornette had some unpleasant things to say about that particular person. And he basically made fun of him. And he said a couple slurs. I'm trying to get the exact quote of what he said. And then here, this is the exact quote from Jim Cornette. "Then here comes Sonny Kiss, who apparently got off his day job at the drag show at the fucking Tropicana. They're not explaining any of this. The transvestite or exotico, as they would say at AAA." So it's basically just him speaking on the top of his head, not caring, not being politically correct.
Yeah.
And he got dragged for it a lot, which I think rightfully so. When you have a platform like that and you have a pretty big viewership and you have people that listen to you every week and care about what you have to say, you can't go on air and say shit like that, hurtful, disrespectful things.
Right. See, because here's the thing, and Daniel, you've actually compared me to Jim Cornette quite a bit.
Yeah, because you're a dick.
All right.
No, I'm just kidding.
even as going so far to say that I'm actually the love child of Jim Cornette and Christopher Daniels. which is not true, by the way, folks. Yeah. Well,
yeah, we need to just put your. We need to put your profile picture up in the description of this episode and everyone will get what I'm saying.
but like the thing is that like, you compare me to Jim Cornette or whatever. As far as Jim Cornette goes, on that, social media platform and all that, and how far he goes on the podcast, like I would never say or do anything. Like, I do have my opinions that the both of you do know. That I say
yes.
Privately, yes. Because I really don't feel like getting thrown in jail. All right. My butt
it's
would
not
appropriate
for life.
My butt would not do well in prison. I'd have to take a shot. which is an example of something you should not say on radio.
and don't
but,
say it.
I'll try not to. But, like, the thing is that, like, Cornette, because he's older in age, he's, hitting 60, he doesn't give a rat's ass. Now, that doesn't make him right.
No, he's completely wrong.
I mean, that doesn't make him right of, you know, whether people do agree with his with what he says. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people will agree with him when he says that Austin Aries is an asshole. You know, when he goes out and he, you know, says something about, you know, Sonny Kiss, I don't personally agree with that.
No.
Because to be honest with you, I thought Sonny Kiss is a great athlete.
Yeah.
Right?
I think
right?
He is too. Or she.
He, you know.
Don't worry about
Eric. Yeah. See, Sonny Kiss is a great athlete. As far as Jordan Grace goes, yes, Jordan Grace might not be a cover girl or a Maxim model or whatever the fuck. But, you know, she's a great athlete, very strong woman, and could probably beat the shit out of Cornette.
Yeah.
Which I would be fine with.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, you know what? If you agree with what Cornette said, you know, good for you. I personally I think that you're allowed to have an opinion. Just don't make it known to, you know, 50 million people. Or however many are on Twitter or whatever the fuck. You don't need to make it known to so many people. Tell your wife, tell your co-host on your podcast privately, tell your dog or whatever the fuck. Or tell George the Rat.
George the Rat.
Does he have any kids? What?
No, he doesn't have kids. And yes, Daniel, I know George the Rat is dead, but you can go to his gravesite.
Oh. We have about 7 minutes left, so.
Please, let's close out with something that piece of shit. But I'm much like Jerry the King Lawler when it comes to negativity, if you have nothing nice to say, come sit by me. I don't have a problem with that. But when you take it too far and you tell people to kill themselves because he's done, and you say things like that and threaten people, and you're making an ass out of yourself, and you just make you look like a worse human being that maybe you actually are. I do think he's truthful and honest, and I think he believes with everything he's saying, and that might be a quality to have, but I don't think that you need to go that far to try to personally attack people to get your point across. And I'm pretty sure that's where we can end that.
Right.
I think we should do this format again. I like this.
Because there's so much more we can get into.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even touch the surface.
I think we could get this once a month.
Like, I'd be down with that. And, you know, we can even have people write in and ask, like, if we're going to do this, we can actually properly advertise this. Not change it up an hour before we're going to go on air because we didn't think half of our co-hosts were going to be with us. But we could properly then, you know, have people. Well, not just half.
I know.
Anyway, before I say something that
I know.
Before you record it yourself.
Yeah. But, you know, we can have, you know, listeners of the show, they can, you know, write in or tweet in questions or whatever that we can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that we'd be more than happy to answer because there's so much more we can get into. And,
yes.
I mean, now next week or next, I don't even know what fucking day we're going to do the show next week because next Sunday starts football season.
Yeah.
So I don't think we want to do the show on. I don't think we want to do the show on Sundays anymore.
Probably Saturday.
Yeah, might have to go Saturday.
All right. So Saturday. All right. So Saturday then. At least Daniel and I will be back. Eric will be in some state on the West Coast.
So we'll
do our RVD episode. If I do have 2 hours and I'm at the hotel or something, I can call in, but I can't make any promises.
Okay. So at least Daniel and I will be with you on Saturday to do the RVD show. RVD did win the poll last week, so we will do show on him.
And we're the heart and soul of this fucking thing anyway. No offense, Eric.
So,
what do you mean? Oh, but, you mean the career retrospective?
Yeah.
No, I was
okay, yeah. Yeah, I know.
We will do RVD's career retrospective on Saturday. So, you know, look out for that. But you know,
probably seven.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll schedule it and I'll promote it.
All right, cool. Okay. Thank you. But yeah, this was a nice change of pace. I really enjoyed doing this. So
absolutely.
All right, Eric, you want to take care of the plugs?
Yes, thank you, Doug. Listen to Doug. I mean,
yeah, we're Doug. Listen to fucking Doug.
Listen to Doug and Daniel next week during RVD. There's your plug, guys, for you guys. And listen to Bossman and Anthony talk about wrestling every Wednesday night and every time, every pay-per-view, every major pay-per-view. And every other Saturday doing Hollywood Hangout. So just listen to them on Mishler.com and wherever podcasts are being heard. They talk about wrestling on Wednesdays at 9:30 on Mishler.com. Sorry for repeating myself.
So just in case nobody got that, Boxman and Anthony are on Mixler.com, just in case anybody missed that.
I mean, I did have a few drinks today, so that could be a little out of it.
You had to drink.
You had to drink.
No, I didn't get hammered. I only had two drinks, but
you had to drink. I mean, who knows? I mean, if for all you know, you could have ended up having to be the groom at that thing.
Knows what the groom is.
Yeah.
But this was a blast. I thoroughly enjoyed this episode, and it was a very nice day with this, guys. Doug, I'll see you next week. Well, I mean, I'll probably see you sooner than that because I live with you.
Thank you.
But
yeah, I was gonna say, aren't I joining you outside in a few minutes anyway for whatever you're doing?
Maybe I should come over and join you guys. Thank you. I'll miss you guys.
Aww.
I'll miss you too.
I know Doug will miss me.
Oh yeah, Doug's gonna be up in the fetal position thinking about you all night.
Oh God,
but
yeah.
Have a good week.
Still live radio.
By the time you get back from vacation, you might have to come bail me out of jail.
Oh boy. I don't need to know.
I'll be sharing a bar of soap with Jim Cornette.
All right. Well, have a good week.
You too. This is a blast.
Oh yeah.
We'll do this again. And if you have any other ideas, we'll throw them out every now and then.
Yes.
Thank you guys. And have a good night.
All right. Thanks, Eric.
You too, man.
Yep. Peace.
See ya.
Later.
Later.